Well, good morning, everyone. Never did I think that I would be the first one standing up here the first morning, but may God give me the strength to share a little bit of what was laid on my heart to share. Marlon, I think he called me 2 weeks ago this afternoon, talked to me a little bit, and asked me if I'd be willing to share. And I did. I told him I would be. And I think it was that night yet. I don't know. Sometime before I went to bed, I don't know, there was just a thought come to me that to share a little bit about heaven and then what kind of a life it takes to get to heaven. And my thoughts went to Revelations 21. I read that and I thought, I can't explain what heaven will be like any better than what the few verses there in Revelations 21 say, talk about it. We'll read verses 1 through 7, and then we'll skip 8. And then we'll read 9 through the end, and then a couple verses, and then chapter 22 yet, if you want to follow along. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride abhorred for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat up in the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountains of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." And we'll skip 9 for now, or 8, and then go to 9. "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, 'Come hither, I will shew ye the bride, the Lamb's wife.' And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and shewed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God in her light, was like unto a stone more precious, even like jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east gates, and on the north gates, on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measures of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. The city was pure gold, like unto a clear glass. And the fountains of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stone." Now, Now, this next chapter, I am not going to be able to pronounce quite all those words. I tried it last night and tried to memorize them, but I'm going to do my best. I'm probably going to skip a couple of the words. The first fountain was jasper, the second sapphire, the third and the fourth an emerald, and the fifth sardonyx, and the sixth sardius, the seventh and the eighth was beryl, the ninth was topaz, the tenth was I do not know them last three, sorry. But, and then we'll go to 21. And the 12 gates were like 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it was transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations in it. And there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were the four healings of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to shew unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. And then Jesus' word is, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecies of this book. The beginning of 7 there, behold, I come quickly. Now he said that, what, how many thousands of years ago? But one day that saying will be true. He will come one day, whenever that may be. But as I read that, as I read over that chapter a couple times, my mind kind of went different ways, but it seemed to land on talking about the fruits of the Spirit, because if the fruits of the Spirit are not a part of our life, we're not going to witness that. And I thought I would maybe just ask a couple of you, maybe you could, what is the first fruit of the Spirit? Well, okay, so what is opposite of love? I done a lot of searching yesterday in this, and I tell you what, it took me for a real spin. So what is the second fruit of the Spirit? Okay, so what is opposite of joy? What I have wrote down here is despair, hopelessness, and a self-centered life. So what is the next one? Peace. Yeah, so what is opposite of that? That would probably be one. I have conflict, strife, and chaos. What is the next one? Yeah, so what is opposite of long-suffering? Yeah, that's good. Okay, so what's the next one? So what's opposite of gentleness? It says here unkindness, violence, pride, and anger is what I have wrote down. What's the next one? So what would be the opposite of that? I would say that, yeah, that would fit in there. It says wickedness, sin, and selfishness. What's the next one? Luke? What's after goodness? I say, what is the next one after goodness?
I think it's weakness, right?
I can't hear you.
Is it faith or weakness?
Oh, it's faith, yeah. So what's the opposite of faith?
It could
be that. I have wrote down unbelief or fear. So what is the next one? What is the next one after faith? Meekness? So what's opposite of meekness? Pride would be one. It says pride, selfishness, wrath. And then what is the last one? Temperance, right? Is that what you said? Okay, so what is opposite of temperance?
No control.
I have self-indulgence characterized by a lack of control over appetites, passions, and desires. I started looking up these words, and I looked them up as biblical meaning, and then I looked them up as just a regular dictionary meaning, and it took me for a little bit of a ride, because I believe that the dictionary meaning of them words will just let you live an okay life. You're just okay. But the biblical meaning of them, you got to give it all. So that's what blessed me. So we'll just go on, and you can turn your Bibles to Galatians 5 and to 22 and 23. Okay, we'll start reading in 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. But if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be delirious of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. I found it kind of interesting that it ended there in 26 with the words of to not provoke one another or envy one another. I thought that kind of interesting. But I just have a little bit here on that. It says, newly transformed people produce something special with their lives. Paul calls the new work of the Spirit fruit. The Holy Spirit spontaneously and creatively produces this kind of fruit in us. The Spirit generates these character traits in us because we are becoming more like Jesus, who perfectly modeled them. When Christ controls us, they grow and flow from us naturally. We can't obtain them by trying to get them without His help. If we want the fruit of the Spirit to grow in our in us, we must live in close union with Jesus. We must submit to Him, know Him, love Him, and remember Him, and imitate Him. As a result, we will fulfill the intent purpose of the law to love God and our neighbor. It says, which of these qualities do you most want the Spirit to produce in you? And then and next it says, when believers lose the motivation to love, we become critical of others. We stop looking for good in them. We see only their faults. Soon we lose our unity. Have you talked behind someone's back? Have you focused on others' shortcomings instead of their strengths? Remind yourself of Jesus' command to love others as you love yourself. When you feel critical of someone, make a list of that person's positive qualities. When you hear gossip or backbiting, confront those doing it and walk away. And then when we know that the Holy Spirit is leading us, it says, if we desire to have the qualities listed in 5:22 and 23, then we know that the Holy Spirit is leading us. How can we tell that the Spirit is leading us rather than our own subject feelings? Being led by the Holy Spirit creates desires to hear, the readiness to obey, and the readiness to obey God's word. The Holy Spirit gives us the sensitivity to discern between our feelings and His promptings. Then as we live each day controlled and guided by Him, we will not be overpowered by our own selfish desires. The words of Christ will be in our minds, the love of Christ will be behind our actions, and the power of Christ will help us control our selfish desires. I just thought that I guess I would read some of those, like the biblical meanings of the fruits of the Spirit, the words, and then read the normal dictionary meaning of them. It kind of took me for a little bit of a ride because I believe with all my heart that I lived in the dictionary meaning of those words much longer than I lived in the meaning, the biblical meaning of them. And so it just kind of, it just took me for a little bit of a ride. So we'll start. With love. The biblical meaning of love is a selfless, sacrificial, unconditional commitment to the well-being of others, reflecting God's divine nature rather than just a fleeting emotion of feeling. And then I just looked up the regular dictionary meaning of love, and it says a great interest in something. So there's a big difference, you know, even though that is the biblical meaning of love, but there's a big difference in a love, I think. The biblical meaning of joy. Joy is a deep, lasting contentment and delight in God. And just the regular biblical or the regular meaning of joy was a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. And the biblical meaning of peace, it says it means much more than just the absence of conflict. It signifies wholesome completeness, well-being, harmony, prosperity, and restoration in all relationships with God, self, others, and others, in a state that comes from a right relationship with God through Jesus. Just the regular meaning of peace. I mean, I think there was a little bit more than that on the regular meaning, but what I have wrote down is, what it said is, in the dictionary meaning of peace was freedom from disturbance or a period of time there is no war. The biblical meaning of long-suffering means being slow to anger, enduring hardship, offenses, or people with great patience and self-restraint, often stemming from the love and a desire for repentance, reflecting God's own nature. It says it's a core fruit of the Spirit, arguing believers to patiently bear with others and show mercy rather than immediate retaliation. seeing others through Christ's eyes, even in difficult circumstances. The regular, just the dictionary meaning of long-suffering says having or showing patience in spite of troubles, especially with those, caused by other people. The biblical meaning of gentleness is a strength-based spirit produced. It's a strength-based spirit produced character trait meaning humility, mildness, and compassionate strength, not weakness. It's tender care for others, restraint and anger, and patient, loving response, especially to those who are weak or provoking. It's a mere Christ-like nature as a gentle shepherd. The meaning of gentleness out of the Bible, it says the quality of being kind, tender, or mild-mannered. The biblical meaning of goodness was meaning aligning your character and actions with God's nature, being virtuous, righteous, beneficial, and pure, reflecting God's own character through selflessness, love, compassion, and justice, rather than just following rules. It's a inherited quality of God, the ultimate source and key fruit of the Spirit that believers manifest, involving both inward and outward light, helping the needy, encouraging others, and overcoming evil with good. The meaning of goodness in the dictionary says the quality of being morally good or virtuous. Biblical meaning of faith. You know, there was a lot more to it, faith here than what I wrote. I didn't write at all, but it says it means more than just belief. It's a confident trust. It's a confident trust, a reliance, and conviction in God and His promises, even without seeing Him, leading to active commitment, obedience, and a transformed life. It's the assurance of things hoped for and the correction of things not seen. And the meaning of faith in the Bible says complete trust or confidence in someone or something. And the biblical meaning of meekness, strength under control, not weakness. It's a humble, gentle, and courteous spirit that submits to God's will, exercises power for others' benefits, and shows patience and humility in trials. Like Jesus demonstrates, it involves restraining personal rights for good, restraining deep trust in God, and acting with gentleness and not self-assertion or ignorance, even when powerful. It says, another meaning underneath it said strength under control. It describes a wild horse that has been tamed, signifying a great power held in check for a higher purpose. And just the regular meaning of meekness was softness of temper, mildness, gentleness, and forbearance. The biblical meaning of temperance, self-control, moderation, and self-discipline over desires, appetites, and passions, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Not just abstinence from sin, but also managing good things. It's a fruit of the Spirit leading to the balance of a godly life. It's the regular meaning of temperance, the quality of moderation or self-restraint. Reading that and coming up with going over that all, I come to realize when I found the verse, it's in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's impossible, I believe, to hold them fruits of the spirits in the biblical way, except for if you are what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And then I guess you know I ask you guys about the fruits of the Spirit and the opposites. The opposites of the fruits of the Spirit, as far as if we live a despair, hopeless, self-centered life with conflict, strife, and chaos in it, and all on down the line, we're not going to inherit. We're not going to inherit the place that I read about in Revelations. But we will inherit, I believe, what it says there in verse 9 in Revelations. Or not in verse 9, but in verse 7. It says, But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the warmongers and the sorcerers and the idlers and all the liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What I come up with that hell was described, it doesn't take as long to describe hell as it does heaven. But it says hell is described as a place of outer darkness, unquenchable fire, torment, weeping, and gashing of teeth, an eternal separation, often depicted as a lake of fire and sulfur, a fiery furnace, and a prison with chains of darkness where the worm dieth not. It's the destination for the wicked, the devil, and his angels, characterized by eternal punishment and God's wrath, a place of outer misery and everlasting destruction. It's portrayed as a place of continuous eternal punishment, a spiritual death, and an absence of God's light and love. So, with reading that, I would trust that each one of us in here, our destination would be on what I read first. Our desires would be on going there, and not what I read second. But in closing, I found an interesting quote. It said that. That your whole spiritual life depends on your answer to one question: who is Jesus Christ to you? And then I'll close with Ezekiel 36:25-28. This is what God promises to those that love Him. That I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Will I cleanse you? A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my status, and you shall keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave to you and your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And the next verse, and I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no fame upon you. I think that's a special promise from God for the people that follow Him. That's all I have. I pray that you'll be blessed by it.